Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Cool Shit episode 12, I believe. My name's Gareth Carter. Got low energy because we're recording yet again, and I made it clear last time that it was unfavourable, but we're recording at, well, pre 10 o'clock in the morning.
And why is that? Because you decided to have a day off yesterday.
How can I decide to have a day? Like, I was born on that day, therefore it was preordained that I was off for my birthday, yeah. You don't decide when it's your birthday, just so you're clear.
I would have worked it. I would have come in for that. I'm that committed to the podcast.
Okay, you have now jailbroke the format, because you're not
I'm not meant to be talking, but I couldn't sit idly by.
It's very rude to our guests, our early birds. We have Kyra returning.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Yeah? How are you feeling about it this time?
Thrilled. I'm so happy you invited me back.
But there's no need to be shitty about it. Jeez.
Kyra, no one wants to be here.
And for the first time, the effervescent Lucy, how are you going?
Oh, good, thanks. I'm quite nervous.
Are you?
Yeah, it's a great privilege to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, there we go. I feel that you're quite a morning person, no?
Yeah, I'm quite peppy.
You are quite peppy, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Getting early, yeah. Get it done.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you're going to be our saving grace on this podcast. And you've already heard his voice. But anyway, here he is again. James, the editor-in-chief, a.k.a. the little chef. How are you?
Yeah, cooking up a storm. I'm all right. I've got a chia seed in my teeth.
Okay, what's a chia seed?
Don't know, those little black ones.
They're very good for you.
What a breakfast. How has it been in the land of cool shit this week?
Dire.
I did have a look. I did have a little swizz through some of your stories, and I thought it was a little bit, just a little bit of a slow week.
Yeah, it has been a bit of a week, as I said to you. So I did say to everyone in advance, you're going to have to come ready to sort me out with some better stories.
Well, I hope our guests are going to sort of dig us out of a hole. All right then, James, go on. Give us the first one then.
Okay. I've mainly included this one because of the cultural moment that it attaches itself to, and because I know Gareth to be a bit of a gossip. So I'd be interested to get his take on the ongoing Wagatha Christie saga. And basically the jumping off point for this is that there's a new Butterkist campaign in which the bags of the popcorn have been added to courtroom drawings of the Colleen Rooney versus Rebecca Vardy trial, thus reflecting the overwhelming voyeuristic attitude of the media and the great British public towards the trial.
Now, to our global listeners, and I know there's plenty of you out there, you may think that the biggest celebrity trial at the moment is Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, but no, it's not. Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy are essentially at war live, right?
Pretty much.
So two wags fell out about 4 years ago when Colleen suspected that her stories were being leaked to the Sun newspaper. So on her Instagram, no one could see her stories but the one person she suspected might be leaking them. And then sure enough, these stories that she leaked, I think she leaked about four or five of them, they ended up in the Sun. So in true sleuth style, she decided to go public with it on this sort of long Instagram text that ended up with the culprit and said it came, and this is a very key thing in the trial, it came from Rebecca Vardy's account.
Yeah, key.
And
very
she's since said that I think somebody else had access to her account, but that person can't give their phone as evidence because they dropped it in the North Sea.
And that
person no longer works with Rebecca Vardy, apparently.
No, so I believe that was her manager. So, I mean, some of the court stuff is, like, really super salacious. Like, so she's quite clear that she has been leaking stories through her famous husband, Jamie Vardy, a player for Leicester. She's openly said that she leaks stories to newspapers.
About Colleen?
About players for Leicester.
Because I saw this, I was reading about it last night, and she apparently tried to sell a story about one of his teammates drink driving, which was presumably Danny Drinkwater, which is always the most hilarious name for somebody who gets done for drink driving, because if only he did.
And I think the other thing about this case that's interesting is British libel law. This law was sort of written up a while ago to be quite robust, that in the press you can't say something that's defamatory about someone that's going to affect their earnings or affect how people generally think of them or feel about them. But this was before social media. So now that social media is here, it's made the case more complicated. Neither person has wanted to back down, and they've ended up in court about Instagram.
Yeah.
Crazy. Lucy, have you been following the Agatha Christie case?
I have. I think the Butterkist is genius, but I'm more interested in the actual courtroom image, the art itself, which is, and just following it on Twitter and all of the responses of like the Vardy, does he look like he looks like the moon, and like all of the stuff that's come off the back of
the
it
moon.
Yeah, there's just the drawings of like Wayne Rooney and Jamie Vardy. Yeah. they're so distorted, and the accuracy isn't great, and the subsequent like memes that have come off the back of it, and all, it's good. All good. It's just rich with everything that's going on at the moment. I feel like this is what we need.
I do like how this is our equivalent to the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing as well, right? It's just such
based
a, like
the
such
most
a
British way. Yeah.
It is a budget version, but I feel like it's kind of a safer version, because in that, I think there's some really serious stuff that's happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's some bits where it's funny, and then you hear something else, you're like, ooh, what's
yeah,
funny?
That's really dark, and we're in murky territory over there about sort of like watching it. Whereas this, I kind of feel like is almost like a bit of harmless fun.
It's
there.
A good old fashioned whodunit.
Right.
Just Agatha Christie in itself is gold.
So another interesting thing that came up in court is that Colleen, when she found out that she'd been that the whole thing had been coined Agatha Christie, she loved it. She was taking screen grabs of pictures of her that someone had done up looking like Scooby-Doo where she was finding the culprit. So she was bang into it.
But it's flattering to her, but I think it's layered, because I think it's Agatha Christie because of Poirot, and I think the kind of giving some one person false information was an actual Poirot move. So
right, yeah,
so there's layers to it. I don't know if she's read it.
Cairo, have you been following the Agatha Christie case?
Do you know, I don't know if I live under a rock, but I haven't. I've just learned all about it from what you've just said. But it sounds interesting. And I think Butterkist are very smart doing that, because I think there's not many court cases that they could probably do that and it be acceptable, because it's so lighthearted.
Right. So I just want to explain what people are having a look at here. So like, it is an artist rendition of what's happening in court, but everyone is holding a packet of Butterkist toffee flavour, and it looks exactly as you would imagine what, you know, court illustrations look like. But I'm interested to know, are these the real people in court? Because they are.
I think it's the courtroom drawings.
It so is they've the done official like courtroom drawings.
Yeah, so they've done a kind of Photoshop-y job, but obviously not a Photoshop. But yeah, it's the courtroom drawings, and they've just added the popcorn, which makes me quite like it.
Yeah,
so we're back to likeness. Like, what about, look at this, look at this guy smiling on the end here.
If you haven't, just get down a Twitter hole with these courtroom drawings, and just like that is amazing. It's just everything that's good about the internet and people.
And has this gone live as a piece of social, or is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but they've done it before. So they did it for Partygate. So they had digital ads on trucks going around like 10 Downing Street with We're Here for the Drama around that time. So they've done it before. They're good at reacting.
It's just underlining the point, whenever there's anything sort of juicy, all grab the popcorn. So it's just kind of really trying to drill that into people's brains, isn't it?
Mm. I mean, the marrying up of the subject matter is like perfect.
I think it's great. Like, to jump on such a kind of talked about cultural moment and kind of co-opt it for your brand in a way that seems relevant and appropriate, is you've kind of hit the jackpot there, surely. Yeah.
So just sort of like double down with the popcorn memes that you get of like when people are having a row online. Have you ever posted any of those, Cairo?
No, I haven't.
As our resident influencer.
As our resident Gen Z, are you into popcorn memes?
I'm younger than her.
We know that you may be younger than her in age, but let's face facts. You're taking a lot of cod liver oil because you're aging very fast.
Just before we move on, I want to leave you on a quote from Rebecca Vardy for that particular story.
She's a lovely woman. Don't you think she's a lovely lady?
I saw this in
Rebecca Vardy, if you're listening, you are lovely. Yeah, aren't you?
It's Rebecca, actually. Arguing with Colleen is like arguing with a pigeon. You can tell it that you are right and it is wrong, but it's still going to shit in your hair. And speaking of shit going in your hair, have you ever tried to eat a burrito?
How are you eating your burritos, man?
The underlying point, though, is that it's a mess. So the story here is basically a group of engineering students have solved one of life's greatest problems, which is burritos falling apart, by inventing what they've called a food-grade fibrous scaffold. And organic adhesive to attach to your wrap, enchilada, burrito, gyros, or any other food of your choice to bind it, basically, so you don't have to go through that awful folding process.
Yeah, I mean, is this for at home? Is this the main reason for it?
I think this is for the amateur burrito eater who might have a burrito maybe once every couple of weeks. He doesn't want to look at the YouTube tutorials of how to roll it properly. Just to help out the rookies. I don't think the purists will go for this.
Well, sorry for the personal information, but I've got a George Foreman grill.
Ooh,
at home.
Show off.
I mean, this isn't sponsored.
Things are going well for you.
But like, making wraps on a George Foreman grill is just like, it makes lunchtime brilliant. Like, absolutely brilliant. But that is the biggest problem.
is that their line? It makes lunchtime brilliant.
I feel like you've been paid
to say that. Yeah, I'm moonlighting. George got in contact before the boss sent me a quick message. No, but like, it is like, that is the main problem with wraps, is like that bit. So what you try to do with the George Foreman grill, for instance, is you kind of like, you put a bit of oil on the bit that you're hoping it's going to stick. Oh. And then you put it down and sizzle it so that it sort of like binds.
Seals, right.
Yeah, so it seals, yeah, basically. But that would be so much easier, just a little sticky thing.
I mean, like, it is great. And the idea behind it, it's all sort of sustainable and there's no like bad shit in it. It doesn't look great. Like, it doesn't look delicious.
Well, it looks like a piece of seaweed.
But the first picture that you look at, if you're on the old school, is a blue one, which is weird because you don't really eat blue food anyway.
Yeah,
but then there is like a see-through kind of burrito-looking one, which looks slightly more appetising.
Yeah, the blue was just to demonstrate it, wasn't it? But I think the actual thing...
Just so you can see it, yeah.
Yeah, the actual thing will be see-through. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it is solving a problem that exists. Like, I have had it before where I'll fly too close to the sun and think I can stuff too many frijoles in my burrito, and then all of a sudden it splits and it's all over your lap.
I love you, James. Any classics reference, you know me. I'm in. This wins. I know it's not my decision, but I think this is in just for that.
Greek mythology aside, you sound like a fan, Kyra. Explain more.
Do you know, I've probably eaten a total of 5 burritos in my life because they're so messy. Like, I find them just like annoying and messy to eat. So I think I would eat more if I had this. So yeah, I think it's a great idea. I don't know, like, would they sell it in like shops? Like when you're buying a burrito, like would they just wrap it up?
I think it's sort of an at-home kit, isn't it? So like,
well, for now.
But you could do, it could work for business as well. Yeah. So like reduce the amount of packaging that you have. Because they wrap it up and then you've got to undo it, and then you might undo the whole thing.
That's
and then it's everywhere.
Foil, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so here's the thing, right? Did I tell you that I've got a George Foreman grill? okay, fine, right. But like, unless a wrap is hot, yeah, don't fuck about with it. Like, you and your Tesco meal deals, you will go and buy basically a cold, wet, limp wrap.
I don't have wraps from Tesco. For the purposes of the podcast, I shouldn't have said anything, but I will not let you besmirch me in such a manner.
My point though is like, if a wrap's cold, don't touch it. Like, it's no way nice. It's it's horrible.
Truth.
But normally, if you get like a burrito, isn't it sort of like gently toasted? They chuck it on the grill quickly and then they wrap it all up.
Right? Yeah, no, exactly. That is the case. But I do notice that you can buy wraps that haven't been toasted. And for me, that's kind of like, I don't know, that's like eating raw chicken or something. Just don't do it.
You don't eat raw chicken?
Mm.
That's James's secret.
Yeah, we're learning. That's why I'm aging so quickly.
Lucy, what have you brought to this week's editorial meeting to put forward to the team?
Okay, so this could be something or absolutely nothing. That's how I'm going to set it up. And it's not really, it's more of an opinion piece that I saw. And it's a discussion point. So social media algorithms, is it just surveillance capitalism or are they actually a medium for divine messaging?
Wow, okay.
Bear with me.
Did I mention? It's quite early.
It's funny, I knew Lucy was bringing this and I just wanted to look at you when she got to divine messaging.
Okay, bear with me. This is why, and I think, I had it, and this morning I was like, this is nothing, but I'm going with it, so I'm going to push through.
You go.
So it's, there's a lot of it on TikTok. Kyra actually said herself that she sees a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Flying around. So, you know, you see a lot of them, like, if you see this video, it's meant for you, and, like, claim it. So there was this kid last year who posted something on TikTok that had, like, loads, it was just, like, photos and videos of immense wealth. So like mansions with a pool, yachts, you know, Chanel bags and like lots of cash. And he made the claim that, you know, if you see this, it'll be your lifestyle when you're older, and that people should claim it and like it. And it had over 3 million views. So we obviously know that social media algorithms is all based on what you're looking at. And if people had maybe been following hashtags of like manifestation or whatever else, it's likely that they're going to see it. But there is an element of randomness to it. So is it actually the more I talk about this, the more I realize this is just the biggest part of shit. It's this like, it could, is it also a tool for divine messaging? And there's all of this like tarots on TikTok and like people submitting you're asking for it, or like based on star signs, and there's a rabbit hole of people who like genuinely believe. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's an interesting article. I'd recommend reading it.
So you do see a lot on particularly TikTok and Reels, like people that are posting stuff where there is and this isn't so much an algorithm, but you know, like, use this filter and it will show you the person that you love and, you know, all of things.
Or if I went back on Facebook when it was like, those posts that it was like, post it now, otherwise it'll share with like 5 people and comment and it will come true.
Like chain letters.
Chain letters, exactly.
I ignored one of those and things have been downhill since.
Been eating raw chicken since. Yeah. Do you know what, right? Okay, so, like, obviously, I think that's a load of bollocks.
Oh, yeah.
But you do touch on, like, something that I do think is really interesting. I don't think that no longer the people that are creating algorithms really are in control of the algorithms. I think algorithms have got so complicated.
Oh, wow.
And smarter,
you think the inmates have taken over the asylum?
Almost, because if you listen to some people, and, you know, these are documentaries that are fueled to make you believe in the digital conspiracy that, you know, these big tech companies are making us locked into our phones, right? But the people that design those algorithms do say that they are no longer directly in control of what that algorithm does.
It's more
does.
Like AI. It, like, that's the whole, and I've said that because I know James loves AI, so I thought I'd bring that as well and gain favour. But there is an element of that to it as well.
So
they're getting smarter. So actually, and I think especially, and maybe it is, again, it actually probably lies back up to, it is more kind of like surveillance algorithms. But I think traditional religion as well now, especially with maybe Gen Z and younger generations, is not as big as spirituality as a greater force. So, and these are like, these kind of videos are being targeted probably at, and it's on TikTok more so than it is anywhere else on any social media platforms.
My friend is heavily into witch talk, which is kind of what they call it, which is like the side of TikTok where they like read tarot and stuff. And I think that, you know, at best it is just like stupid and dumb, but I think it can actually be potentially like kind of harmful for like people that are a little bit more like vulnerable mentally. I don't know, like, I've got this friend kind of went through a little mental thing and she was kind of justifying a lot of her actions with stuff that she saw on TikTok and like messaging TikTok.
You don't fuck around with the occult.
And it's like, it was kind of like justifying her like manic and like quite impulsive behavior, being like, oh, but you know, like the universe is providing for me and like all this stuff that she found on TikTok, which I think it can be actually quite harmful.
That's interesting. To your point, imagine, can you get like a malevolent algorithm then?
I don't think an algorithm can think apart from what it's been, the task it was originally set out to do, and then how that then becomes an ecosystem of it reacting with other algorithms that are then present. So that's what an algorithm is doing, essentially.
And I think you're right. It's like, do you see what you want to see?
Yeah.
Right,
like based confirmation on, bias.
Yeah, like, yeah. Mm. So when you read like in a...
Star signs, horoscope.
That's what I'm looking for. When you read a horoscope,
you're a social person,
it.
But you also like to spend time on your own.
Exactly. It's like you read into it what you want to... Yeah, it's interesting. But I'm still like, is this actually anything?
Is this
or is it just... Yeah, I don't know.
There is something inherently kind of mystical about the algorithm, though, because sort of technology's got so weird and confusing that it kind of... But wasn't there like a saying about that, sort of like that science will get to a point where it seems like sort of you can't detach it from magic or something?
Yeah, no, I've heard something like that. But, I mean, without getting too deep at 1016, sort of like the divine part of it, without touching on sort of religion or spirituality too much, like... A human being is pretty divine to me, like, because that's like something crazy. It's like it's come from, you know, like an evolution of like amazing things have happened that seem so off kilter to even get to where we've got right now. And so what I do think is algorithms are just part of the human ecosystems. We've invented them, we've created them, and therefore they have come from nothing. They wouldn't exist otherwise. Apart from a, you know, whichever way you want to look at it, a divine energy, an evolution of man, whatever. So it is part of that journey, right?
Sure, but then it's not impossible that you get to a point there where kind of machines start to get a level of sentience where even though they wouldn't exist without man, they can kind of then...
Well, it's definitely going that way, right? Yeah, exactly. Anyway, in general.
Yeah, but I don't think witch talk is going to be the thing that's going to...
But that's not the first frontier. Yeah.
So yeah, it's less cool shit and more like the sister paper weird shit, I think, probably. But
to be fair, it did make me think as well, because when I was looking for stories, I saw that you can buy Holy Bible NFTs now, which get you into the meta church. So this it's nice to see this kind of digital divinity still attracts the same sort of bullshit con artists and snake oil salesmen. Imagine spending £50 on a Holy Bible NFT and thinking, well, that's me sorted. Now let's go kill some people. I'm going to heaven.
James, as usual, I'll see you in meta church on Sunday.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. God bless, my son.
Kyra, have you got something for the editors meeting?
I do. So mine is that Duolingo are opening a restaurant to help people speak Spanish, which I think is quite cool. I've got the app and they're opening like an actual restaurant. You go in, you can only speak in Spanish, or you can try and you can get discounts on your food if you speak in Spanish, if you like complete little like language learning tasks and stuff. And I think it's cool just because I like learning, but also I think from like a brand perspective, like expanding from an app to like a physical space, it's quite cool.
So first of all, shout out to whoever's doing Duolingo's advertising marketing sort of activations, because there's a couple of times they've been brought up in this podcast, because they're always thinking of new ways of highlighting how important the language is and what you can do with it. We had one a couple of weeks ago where they were helping people out with tattoos they've got, where it's got you know Chinese script or something like that, and people like just blatantly don't know what's written on their arm. So I think that they're very good at sort of finding these things. Where's the restaurant?
It's in Pittsburgh.
It's a takeout only restaurant.
Is it?
So it looks like it's, yeah. And it's called...
Duo's Taqueria.
Yeah.
Oh, Lucy, you're ruining this story with all your facts. No, because I was thinking, it also reminded me of... Do you remember when we looked at... There was a thing we spoke about, a cafe that wouldn't let you leave until you got your work done. I was hoping that this was going to be like a fusion of that, but we're not going to let you leave until you've spoken enough Spanish.
I love farcical. It. I think it's great. There's a reason why they're... Like you said about how they market themselves, there's a reason why they're like the number one e-learning platform. Like they're... It's... I love it. Food, and learning.
I think it's clever. Same with the tattoo, how they kind of bring their PR stuff very much into the real world as something that doesn't exist in the real world. It exists just as an app. Like they make it very physical with like a cafe or the tattoos. I think that's just kind of a clever way of hitting people in an area where they wouldn't normally show up.
Like learning language that is very clever that you can now do it without a teacher, without that sort of physicality involved. That's where we've moved to. Like, and you can just do it anywhere, do it in your sleep, listen, whatever. But the real world consequences of using language are massive. Like the benefits of being able to go to another country, travel, work, make new friends. You never know, right? Like that. Like it's a huge thing. So for them to bring it into the real world is a really good example of why that should connect, and the reasons that like learning languages is fucking rad. Plus, I spoke more languages.
Plus Duolingo is great, but it's still limited, and I think they're fairly open about saying like this is one thing, but the best way is to go out there and get talking to people in the real world and actually having a conversation rather than just playing the games. They're quite sort of candid about that, so I think this is just a nice way of, say, somebody who's done quite a lot of Duolingo but doesn't feel that confident. This is a good way of kind of taking that next step, I suppose.
So you're on the Duolingo app, aren't you, James?
I am.
What, you mean you're learning Spanish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How's that going?
It's good. I'm going to Spain tomorrow to test it out.
Well, get yourself to Pittsburgh.
Kyra, do you speak any other languages?
I speak a little bit of Spanish.
Sorry, it turns out Kyra's completed Duolingo.
Yeah.
Have you?
I found this out this morning.
Yeah. I didn't know you could complete it.
Yeah.
What, there's levels?
Yeah, you can. At the end, they've got like bronze, silver, gold.
Do you have to fight a big Spanish boss at the end?
But yeah, I had like a really long journey on my way back from Colombia. It was like 60 hours because we had like...
It's an unfortunate time to become fluent in Spanish on your way back.
No, on your way out.
Yeah. But that's when I kind of got to the end of it.
Okay, right, so that's interesting. So you binged it. I binged Duolingo. Does it work? That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, I think it's good for learning basics, but my Spanish was only ever good when I was living in Colombia, like interacting with people, like when not many people spoke English and I was forced to actually speak it.
Yeah.
You can only learn so much from an app if you're not practicing in real life.
So does that not even then double down on the activation that they've got of like you learn it more when you're forced to speak it, and they've got a restaurant where you're forced to speak it?
I think it's genius.
Right, James, there's been some good stories there. Particularly liked the Duolingo one. I love the discussion that we had, Lucy.
Yeah, but I mean, I did set it up as a something or nothing.
You said it's a talking point. I'm glad we spoke about it, but there isn't a chance in hell, appropriately, that is making it into the newsletter.
If you do want to find out whether burritos or Duolingo or any of the stories have made it, where do people go to...
Well, it's funny you mentioned this, Gareth, because it turns out, as was pointed out by Steve... our IT guy.
Yeah.
I've been saying the wrong link for the last 11 weeks.
Oh my words. No.
Yeah.
So what is the real link?
zachagency.com/cool-SHT.
Not quite the same.
I'm really sorry to our listeners that James has done you so dirty for 11 episodes.
They've probably been thinking I was lying for so long. But to be fair, the one that I was saying was a better URL.
It was, yeah.
So we're going to get it changed. So hopefully next week I'll be back to saying the wrong one, which will then be the right one by then.
I must say, I feel a lot more perky with them when I arrived. So I've got to say thank you very much, Lucy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Kyra, thank you.
Thank you.
James.
De nada.
Get the link right next week, right?
Yeah, we'll do.
Thank you. Bye.